Hello, and welcome back to this week's episode of Lit AF Relationships with me, your host, Sarah Cohan. I'm so excited to be back here with you this week to talk about relationships and healing your attachment style. I'm a relationship and communication coach. And today on the podcast, I'm actually going to talk about the biggest thing that people get wrong about attachment styles. And this is really like when they're healing their attachment style and like the first thing they think they should be doing to create that healthy relationship that they're looking for. And I'm so excited to talk about it because I've just seen this time and time and time again. I just want you to avoid it. Or you know what? I want you to process it, be like, cool, I'm not going to do that anymore. So before I get into the actual episode, as always, I have my check-in for this week. And today I am celebrating 1 month and 20 days of no sugar, no gluten. And I was debating whether I hit record, how graphic I wanted to be with y'all. And I'm just here to tell you that I am so happy that I quit gluten because I have not had one painful poop in 1 month and 20 days. There, I said it. I was thinking about it and I said it and I wanted y'all to know that's how I'm feeling. Also, the no sugar is just, it's hard. It's very hard to watch other people enjoy desserts, especially when they're like delicious looking tarts, like a little buttery pie. That's my fave. But I am just getting creative in my own kitchen on how to have delight and excitement in my food and variety, but then also have gluten-free, sugar-free desserts. If that's that doesn't sound right. The word dessert does not sound right there at all. Don't know what else to call them. Treats? morsels? I don't know. The words are getting weirder. So I don't know what to call them, but I am having fun experimenting with like nut flours and like fruit sweeteners. So like using chunks of fruit to sweeten a dish or a dessert dish. Let's just call it what it is. I want to have a fun dessert. It brings me joy. And there it is. So experimenting with fruit sweeteners and it's been fun. Very fun. I had my last call with my wellness coach today. So my health insurance, I'm just sharing with y'all in case this is a resource that you have access to. My health insurance offers free wellness coaching. And what they do is they offer like 20-minute calls every week or every other week for an activity that you're trying to do, like healthy eating, stopping smoking. I used this to stop smoking 4 years ago. It was so helpful. And just having someone, I was telling her today, we had our last session today, and I was just telling her like how helpful it was to have someone on my side, checking in with me, holding me accountable, witnessing my journey, but then most importantly, like holding a safe space for me to share all my fears and feelings and celebrations. I'm literally just describing how amazing it is to work with a coach right now. And I am like, obviously I am a coach, so I love it. But it's really cool to have someone helping me through quitting sugar and back in the day, quitting smoking. And then at the same time, actually, I quit drinking. So quit a lot of things, also quit caffeine. You know what? I just don't have time in my life for this stuff. I want to feel free. So it's been great. I'm like really over the hump, I would say. It's kind of natural. It's becoming secondhand. And the best part is that when I'm watching other people eat a delicious, like sugary dessert or bread, like the other day I went to lunch and some folks were eating bread around me and I was just like, I'm so glad for you. I'm going to have some exciting things on my own plate very soon. So I'm not going to worry about it. Whereas like 2 months ago, I was just like, I have to have that. So lots of learnings. It's been very cool. I also love reporting about it here on the podcast. So thanks for listening to my check-in. I appreciate you. And now let's get into this week's episode. So this is the biggest thing that I see with people that are healing their attachment style. This is the coolest thing about it. The coolest thing is that people are learning about their attachment style. Maybe you read the book Attached. Maybe you started listening to this podcast. Most likely you're already doing some other healing modalities, maybe some therapy. and you discovered that like, oh, cool, there's this thing called attachment. I'm going to learn a little bit more about this. And then you're realizing like, oh shit, this is affecting my life more than I thought it is, more than I thought it would. And so you've started probably learning about the different attachment styles. If you're interested in learning more, you can listen to episode 102 of this podcast where I go deep into the different attachment styles and explain their types and their patterns and their fears and the strategies that they use to connect with other people. But oftentimes where people go wrong, where I see people going wrong most often, is that they learn about their attachment style and then they're like, cool, now what I'm going to do is just become secure and act like a secure person. And I'm not going to ask for any help or any support for my biggest fears or my biggest needs. I'm just going to like become kind of this self-sufficient person that doesn't have any needs or ask for any help or receive any help. Like you can still ask for help. And then when someone's giving it to you, not receive it in order to quote unquote become secure. And what's going on with this is that you think that this will like catapult you into being secure so that you can date someone that's secure and then you're never going to have any problems. Like everything's going to be fine. But guess what? Actually asking for someone to support a fear or a need that you have that is based on your attachment is actually secure behavior. What? I know. I'm sorry to tell you. You know what? I'm not sorry to tell you. I want you to think this way because this is actually secure behavior. Being vulnerable and sharing a fear that you have, if you tend to run anxious, maybe you have a fear around space. And anytime your partner asks for space, it triggers the fuck out of you. And you become, for lack of a better word, clingy or desperate or just anxious. And you're kind of just sitting around waiting for their text or waiting for them to come back or just waiting for them to communicate at all. And this, like what is happening is you're like, I'm fine. I don't need your help. I don't need to like say anything. I'm just gonna be secure. What I think secure is, I'm not gonna ask for anything. But actually, what a secure person would do is say, I totally understand that you need space. I just want to let you know that this space actually makes me super anxious because I don't know when you're going to come back again. And I'm concerned that you're taking space because of something that I did. I'm like really making this personal, and it's okay that I'm making it personal, but I want your help to make me feel better. So I'm curious, like, can you text me before you're going to bed tonight? Could you send me just a little lovey cute note during your free time just to show me that you're thinking about me? Or could you make a plan with me on Tuesday night at 5:00 to do our favorite thing, which is going for a jog? This is so not me, but I don't know why I said that. That's what came up. We're just going to go for a jog. We're going to go for a couple's jog. That's our thing. Could you commit to that plan with me? And then that way I know we've got a plan to see each other and that will make my anxiety go away. This is secure behavior. Pretending that you're not anxious, bypassing the anxiety or the emotion or the fear and pretending that it's not there is not secure behavior. I'm going to give more examples on the dismissive avoidance side because I love you. I see you. I deeply resonate with you. If you are dismissive avoidant and you think that actually, I'm going to give the same example, but in the opposite, because this is the biggest issue with the avoidant and the anxious preoccupied. I need to ask for space. I am concerned that if I ask for space, it's going to trigger you. So instead of asking for space and making ripples, potential ripples, what I'm going to do is pretend that I don't need space, but I'm going to resent the fuck out of you while we're together. And I'm going to be really tired and overwhelmed because I haven't had any free time that I need alone time to reset and restore and get ready for the week. Recharge. That's what you're doing. You're recharging. I literally just coached someone on this today, coaching them how to ask for space in order to recharge. So when you first hear about your attachment style, you're like, well, I'm just not going to ask for space because asking for space is an avoidant thing. And I don't want to be an avoidant and I don't want to just leave and trigger them. No. The secure thing to do is ask for the space that you need in a loving, kind, and supportive way that helps them understand why you need it and why it's not about them. It's not even a little bit about them. All of us insecure types are running around thinking, oh, it's all about me. It's all about me. It's not. None of it's about us, actually. But we make it about us because that's like growing up or in our most recent relationships, that's how we stayed safe. But we don't have to do that anymore. We're not in those relationships anymore. We're in new relationships. We're making healthy relationships. And the first way to show up in a healthy way is to ask for your needs to be met. I'm not saying this is easy. This is like a completely radically new way of showing up in a relationship and being honest and sharing your needs. And it feels like, honestly, sometimes to me, it feels like I am taking all my clothes off and just walking outside of my house naked and just being like, help me. Hey, world, can you come help me? Like, it's petrifying. It's not easy, but this is the secure thing to do. I don't want you to get stuck on, I have to be 100% secure in order to be in a relationship. That's not true either. In order to start to learn how to be secure, actually, the best thing that you can do is to be in a relationship, ideally with someone on the more secure end of the spectrum. But look, if they've got some attachment stuff themselves, you can help them work through it. But you do not need to be 100% secure in order to be with them. And you're going to learn how to show up imperfectly perfect. Perfectly imperfect. With them, asking them for their support through your fears, through your most embarrassing, burdensome needs, through the like ugly stuff that you don't want to share. Honestly, anytime you're like, ooh, I just don't want to share that. That's the thing that no, that is the sign. That's the signal internally. Cool, I got something here I really need to share. And that's the secure thing to do. This is the thing that's going to create a healthy relationship. It's so hard. I admire all of you for doing this. And I really just want to like acknowledge all the work that you're doing already. Like if you are listening to this podcast, you care and you are trying to turn the tide on how you treat others in a relationship, which will then change how people treat you in a relationship. In case you can't tell, I'm very passionate about this subject. And I hope this helps you. And I would honestly really love to help you understand your needs and then communicate them, because this is the hardest and most important work of creating a healthy relationship. And it's going to help you feel like you're both on the same team, because that's what I want for you, a relationship where you're like growing together. And you're deeply passionate about each other. And yeah, you've got that goal. Like maybe you've got like a really common goal that you're both going towards and you feel like you're both supporting each other and it's super safe. This is what I want for you. It's absolutely possible to change your attachment style. I've heard rumors flying around out there that people think once you understand your attachment style, it's stuck. No. Our attachment style changes based on the different relationships that we're in. It is absolutely possible to change your attachment style. And I've seen people do it in 6 months. It's totally possible. So I would love to help you this year create healthy relationships. You can book a free discovery call to see what patterns have been holding you back and what your life could look like in the next 6 months working on these things of communication, boundary setting, sharing needs, and really learning how to understand your feelings. I use a somatic practice. It's my favorite thing. I just found it's like a really efficient way to process emotions and understand emotions. So I'll help you learn and understand your emotions and be able to share them and communicate about them so that people around you understand you. It's really cool. you can book a discovery call at sarahcohan.com/coaching. That's SARAHCOHAN.com/coaching. Sorry, I'm so passionate today. I'm wearing red and I got an aura reading. You know what? I got my aura picture taken twice in the last 2 years, or no, 1 year. And it's red. I have a bright red aura in case you can't hear it. I don't see in color. Like when I close my eyes, I don't picture color. Like I have aphantasia, but, and you know, if you're an aura reader, maybe you're hearing this and being like, ah, she's shouting red. I hear her red across the airwaves, but I'm experimenting with wearing red. And then earlier today at my day job, I just got massive compliments from a new employee. So I'm riding high. I'm getting a little cocky and I'm loving it because I just want to lay it down. And I really want you to hear this, that the way that you are coming right now is absolutely perfect. And I know it feels like there might be something wrong with you, or that you're defective, or that you're behind. These are huge fears I hear all the time. And I want you to know that there is nothing wrong with you and you don't have to change anything. Actually, usually what I'm doing with folks is helping them communicate exactly how they are or who they are right now. So very passionate about this. Thanks for letting me have my red aura rant. I'm trying to learn more about auras. I think it's really fascinating. And I'm also like, I don't know. I have so many modalities going on already. Human design, astrology, tarot, Enneagram. That's a lot. It's a lot. So, but you know what? There's room for more. I think they all play together and I enjoy them. Okay. I hope to see you on a discovery call. And if I don't see you there, I'll see you right back here next week. Thank you so much.